You're tuned into Highway Sermons.
Well, Happy New Year, guys. And yeah, this is going to be an amazing, amazing 2012. And I just want to honor the elders and just thank them for this opportunity. It's always such a privilege to be able to share the word. It's such a joy as well to be able to stand up here and to share what's in my heart. Yeah, so I trust that you're going to be blessed. I know you're going to be blessed, and so am I. I believe that the word that I'm going to preach tonight is a now word. A now word is a word that is definitely in season. And why I say that is firstly because it's a new year, and therefore it's exactly the right time for new seasons, for new things. And what will makes that all possible is exciting, new, fresh vision and big dreams. If we want to have an amazing year, I believe we need to begin to start dreaming some big dreams, guys, don't you think so? I think we need to trust God for some fresh, amazing vision. Secondly, and more importantly, I believe that this is a now word because there's so many people that are trapped right now in really extremely difficult circumstances. We just spent a new year with some friends and just talking to various people. At least half the people that we spoke to said that they were so happy, that they were ecstatic to see the back of 2011. They were more focused on celebrating that year is finished than even celebrating the new year. And it's like, thank the Lord that year is behind me, you know. And it's amazing, but that's because there's so many people that have had such a difficult 2011. So many people that are trapped in their circumstances, people that are fearful, afraid, living in disappointment, sucked into their circumstances, allowing the circumstances to dictate to their lives and to the direction of their lives. And you know, we have been in the same boat, and we come out of a place where we've also had an extremely difficult year. The biggest thing is that we allow ourselves to sit in that place, and we allow ourselves to be fed lies, like, you failed, and it's your fault, so therefore, you deserve to be where you are. You need to be punished, because actually, you've messed up. So, you need to just suck it up. And that is such a lie. We know that. It's like, you haven't kept the standard, you know, that God has set for you. So actually, you know, you failed. And we know that that's absolute garbage because Jesus is our standard. And that's why we always lift Jesus high, because he's our eternal standard. That's why we praise him and say, Jesus, you are the standard. You are our standard. We know that Jesus also took every failure, every defeat on the cross, that through his overwhelming victory, that every defeat and every failure that we could ever have in our lives has been swallowed up by the victory, overwhelming victory of the cross of Christ. And so we speak victory in the name of Jesus. We say, Lord, we thank you that whatever we have done or haven't done is irrelevant, because you have set the standard and you are our standard. Whatever we do or don't do, we know that God will never ever reject us, that God will never ever push us away. He will always receive us. God never writes his sons and daughters off. We might write each other off. We might write ourselves off. But God will never write us off. I was saying earlier that myself and Jolene, my wife of 33 years over there, and yeah, we've been through a very difficult 2011. In fact, the last few years, we've had a really difficult time. But, you know, through it all, God has taught us many things. And the hurts that we've been through are still quite tender because actually God is still bringing us through. He's in the process of bringing us out of an extremely difficult situation. We've been in property development for a while now, and it's been good but for the last few years. But unfortunately, in 2008, the bubble kind of seemed to burst. And, you know, we were in a place, we've got this quite a large residential development. We'd built about 12 houses or so, which we kind of start building in the beginning of the year from Jan. And by the time we hit September, you know, we've built 12 houses or so. And then we sell them normally, you know, from September to January. And then we start all over again the next year. Except that didn't happen in 2008. You know, we built these 12 houses and actually the whole bubble burst, as you know, in September 2008. Just as we put these houses on the market, the whole bubble just burst. And since then, really, which is now over 3 years, it's just really been a battle for us to just pay the bank, to sell the houses, and to pay off, really, you know, what we owe. And the situation was really overwhelming. And so overwhelming that I just found myself, you know, sitting so often in this leather chair, and I just kind of gazing out the window, you know, just looking into AB Road and just looking through the palm trees and into nowhere, you know, just staring into the same vacant spot, you know, for hours and hours on end, you know, just not moving, just everything so surreal, you know, just sitting there. And my daughter Gabby would go to school and I'd be sitting there, and then she'd come back and I'm still sitting there, you know. And it's like, Daddy, what's wrong with you, you know, and Mom, what's wrong with Dad, you know, and my kids and my friends and people praying for me, just kind of saying, what can we do? And eventually I through the prayers and love of family and friends, I think I just got to the end of it, you know. I got to the end of it, and I said, God, what is happening in my life? What is going on? I'm not going anywhere. I'm actually not even going in circles. I'm not going anywhere, God. And I just began to cry to God, say, God, help me. And where are you, God? Where are you? And I just felt God saying, I'm right here. You know, and the reason why you're not going anywhere is because you're actually wallowing in self-pity. I gave you vision, but you're not using it. And if there's no vision, there's no victory. And I felt God saying, now this is going to take a lot of courage, but I want you to begin to start dreaming big dreams again. I want you to go and get a pen and start writing down what is in your heart. I want you to start looking in your heart again, deep in your heart. Because I've put visions and dreams in there, and I want you to go and get a pen, and I want you to start looking inside and begin to write down what I've put in your heart for this season, for this time. And and God said to me, because when you dream, those dreams will bring life to the surface of your situation, and they will begin to enlarge and reshape the life that you live in. And I just sat there and said, God, how can I begin to dream? How can I even begin? It's such a mess. This is such a mess. I feel like I've failed. I've disqualified myself. There's a mess all around me. And you expect me to start dreaming big dreams. I can't understand it. I feel trapped with this present situation. I feel like I've got to sort out this mess before I can move anywhere. How can I dream new dreams in the midst of this chaos? And God said to me, I'm your dad, and I'm also God. And I give you permission to dream. And that is my title of my message tonight, friends. It's permission to dream. And I give you permission to dream again, my son, because it's your dreams that will aim you through all the chaos. They'll aim you through the confusion, and they will begin to reshape and enlarge your life once again. I don't want you to be controlled by your situation and your circumstances. I want you to be in control of your own life. So I died so that you could sit on the throne of your own life, that you could be free, and that you could live the life that I planned and purposed for you. God said to me, have a look at yourself. It's you, my biggest dream that I ever dreamed. If I never dreamed about you, you wouldn't be here. If I never dreamed big dreams, you wouldn't be here. And God just said to me, listen, you know, if you really trust me, then leave these circumstances to me. I'll sort them out. You can't sort them out anyway. So what are you stressing about? You can't sort them out. Just trust me. Move on. Move on. Wow, so, yeah, God said, I want you to go and grab a pen. Begin to write down the biggest, the most exciting, the most seemingly impossible dreams and commit them to me. Hold them up to me. And I will empower those dreams with grace. And I'll partner with you to see the most impossible and the most awesome dreams become a reality. I love you so much, and I want your life to be relevant, to be exciting, and to be fulfilled. Wow, so I did this, that. I went, and I grabbed a pen and a book, and I began thinking and writing and writing and thinking. And these are but a few of the many dreams that I penned down. Some of my big dreams were, oh, I want to preach the gospel with such power and anointing that over 1,000 people will get saved at once. That's my dream. I just want to maybe be another Kia or whatever, you know. yeah. Another dream is I want to stand on the highest peak in the world and shout, Jesus is Lord of all. And I think the highest peak in the world is Mount Everest, but it's a bit of a problem because I don't really enjoy mountain climbing. So I think I'm going to have to trust the Holy Spirit to transport me up to the top of Mount Everest so that I can start shouting over the whole earth, just from the highest mountain, Jesus is Lord of all. I want my businesses to be successful, so successful that I need 50 people at least just to administer the outflow of resources to ensure that they go exactly where God wants them to go. That's some of my bigger dreams. I've got lots of other ones. Some slightly tamer dreams. I want to go hot air ballooning over the Drakensberg with Jo, my wife. And it's one of her dreams. She wants to go hot air ballooning. I want to see my mom, and she's 98 years old. She's an amazing, amazing lady. I want to see her live to at least 100. And I want to see her holding my first grandchild. That's actually, yeah, an awesome dream for me. Just to see that would be amazing. One of my dreams when I penned this down a while ago was I want to begin trading in consumer commodities again. Start an exciting new importing and distributing company that's going to grow exponentially. And this is already starting to happen. Some of my friends here will vouch for. So yeah, so those are some of my dreams. And you know, there's no difference. You know, we tend to compartmentalize the natural and the supernatural, you know. But to God, everything is natural. Everything. And it's okay to dream, you know, to dream about having a great car or an amazing house, you know, or or you know, skydiving or anything natural. You know, it's not a sin, really. We don't have to just dream huge spiritual dreams. As God wants us to fulfill every dream that He's put in our hearts. As long as that dream doesn't become an obsession. And as long as we don't ever think any dream can ever be bigger than God, because it can't. And so from the time I began to write these dreams down and hold them up to God, something started happening. A fresh passion and excitement started to rise up in me. A renewed zest and a zeal for life. New beginnings. Just an expectation for new ventures. And please God, you won't find me lolling in that leather chair anymore. And as for the difficulties that we are facing right now, we are still facing difficulties. But as our gaze just is fixed on Jesus and our dreams in God, those things are fading. And God is bringing us through. We sold a number of houses. We're just trusting God for transfer to go through of those houses now. So God has been amazing. He's bringing us through a difficult situation. It's so important to God and us to dream big. But we don't have to just dream big. We can also dream smaller dreams. It's fine. But it's great to dream big dreams. And God has wired us in a certain way. And He's put specific dreams and desires in our heart, because that's exactly what He planned and purposed from the foundation of the world. He planned and purposed for His desires to be fulfilled through us on the earth. Ephesians 2 verse 10. Ryan, are you there? Oh, there's Joseph. Yeah, there's Joseph's amazing Technicolor dream coat. Eh? Isn't that beautiful? Eh? Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Yeah, well, we are. We are God's workmanship. We are new creation. God's biggest dream come true. Do you know that every star and every galaxy and everything that was ever created was created by God out of an overflow of love and passion and excitement for the new creation? That's us, guys. We are the new creation. We created in Christ. We're the only beings in the entire universe that are designed to have sweet fellowship with God, created in the same class as God, the only beings in the entire universe. Not just that, but we're also His sons and daughters. The new creation is God's biggest dream. And it's His workmanship. We can't boast about this. It's not something that we did. He did it all. But we certainly can stand back in awe and look at the new creation in wonder and in amazement. And know that this is the pinnacle of God's creation. You are the pinnacle, new creation, of God's creation. There is no greater creation in the whole universe than you. And that's amazing. That's us. That's me as I stand here. It's like, God, I'm a new creation. And I'm getting carried away. But where was I? Yeah, with the scripture. It says that we are His workmanship. But it also goes on to say that He prepared work in advance for us to do. And the question is, how did He prepare that work? How did He do this? And the answer, I believe, is He placed dreams and desires and vision in our hearts, in the inner man, to carry us through every single season of the soul. Wherever we find ourselves in our life, God has gone before us from the foundation of the world in Christ. And He's planted dreams and visions inside of us. And He wants to, not only for us to live those dreams and visions, but He wants to live them through us and with us. And He's passionate about the dreams and visions that He's put in our heart. God is passionate about them. I can't think of anything that God has ever done on the face of the earth that He has not done through either a man or a woman. And in only one situation where no one else could have done the work, that could have done the job, He came down as Son of Man, Jesus. God came down as a man. And He completed that amazing finished work on the cross for us. And He was never embarrassed to say He's the Son of Man. And right now, at the right hand of God, He's a man. Yes, He's God, but He's also a man. And His name is Jesus. And so God wants to do whatever needs to be done on earth through us. And every dream and vision that God has placed in us is vibrant and it's filled with divine energy and passion and zeal. And that is what gives us the ability to pursue our dreams to fruition, is this divine energy that God has placed in every dream that He's put into our heart. It's important for us to dream big and live out our big dreams, because the glory of God is a man fully alive in Christ. In Acts 17:28, it says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." And so we begin to live and move and have our being out of the divine energy that God has placed within that divine dream and vision. And so we begin to live lives that are much bigger than ourselves. Lives that are always calling us heavenward. Lives that are seemingly being able to show the glory of God and bringing us up to the realm of the supernatural. Living amazing lives that are a testimony to the glory of God. When we live off our own energy and our own resources, we will never find anything exceptional. But we'll have to settle for the mundane and uninspired lives. But friends, big dreams have a big price tag. There's always a price to pay for the bigger dream, for big dreams. The bigger the dream, the higher the price. God dreamed about you and me, and it cost the life of His Son and much more. But we take courage from this. We know that the higher the price, the higher the value. And so we know that we are highly valued by God, because He paid such a huge price for us and for our freedom and for His dream. He had every reason to give up on us so many times, but He never. And just looking back at the Israelites, they're very fortunate that they exist today. And if it weren't for Moses reasoning with God and kind of pleading, then I'm sure that they probably would have been frazzled a couple of times. I feel that we give up on our dreams far too soon, far too easily. I feel that we lack perseverance, and many times when you think that our dream is dead and buried, it's actually only just beginning, because we don't have the perseverance to persevere, to see the reality of those dreams come true. But if we look at somebody like Joseph, and I just want to go there, but I was actually reading a story of Joseph yesterday. It's amazing. Genesis 37 to Genesis 2:50. And it's an amazing story. Story of perseverance under extremely difficult, protected circumstances. And he never wavered in his dream. And it's awesome how he just came through every single difficulty and every single circumstance. from being his father's favorite and getting this Technicolor dream coat from his dad as a boy. Actually, one day, having that coat and wearing it, but the very next day, standing in the Egyptian slave market, probably naked, bought by some Egyptian official. So, a dream shattered. Well, no, we find that he persevered. And even when he had the opportunity to save himself from prison, he didn't. He honored God by not sleeping with his master's wife. But he still ended up going to jail. But he never allowed his circumstances to control or to dictate the outcome of his life. He knew without a doubt that God was always with him, that God would never forsake him, and that God's presence was with him wherever he went, and that God's favor was upon him. He unswervingly held and persisted with the dream that God had given him. And that eventually lifted him out of the mundane, difficult situation that he was in. And it caused him to begin to live an extraordinary and supernatural and legendary existence that did bring huge honor and glory to God. And we see 15 years later when his brothers come before him, they almost like groveling on the ground and in fear and trepidation. And we see that this Joseph is not the same man anymore. He's a wiser, he's an older, wiser, humbler, more forgiving man. And they prostrated themselves before him in fear, and he forgave them, saying, if you go to Genesis 50, verse 20, he said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." And we just see how the difficult situations and circumstances that he went through over a period of 15 years or so, between the time that God spoke the dream to him to the time that he realized that dream, that this was a changed man. He wasn't the same arrogant Joseph who told his brothers, you're going to bow down to me. And you see how God prepared him for the office, prepared him for that time. And so, most of the time when God has got stuff in store for us, the first thing he does, he plants the dream beforehand in our hearts. And then he begins to whisper and remind us about those things that are in our hearts. And then he begins to prepare us and equip us, which is the most difficult time, the time that we need to persevere the most and the longest generally period in between the dream just being reality, the dream being in our minds and our hearts and becoming a reality. And then you find that God releases us in the right time, the right season. And then we begin to invade the impossible. And we see that dreams that were impossible, so to speak, now become a reality in our lives. If you look at Joseph's dream, it was an absolute impossibility. And the impossibility is this: it's impossible for a Hebrew boy to become governor of all Egypt. It's absolutely impossible. And so, I don't think there's any doubt that if you look at his life, that you can see God just with him all the way through and finally bring him through to a place where he realizes something that is impossible in the natural. And so through Joseph's story, we can see the process that God takes us through to the place of realizing the impossible. Jimmy was talking earlier about this morning, where that scripture of Hebrews 12, verse 1, apparently was the main scripture this morning. I wasn't here this morning, but I just felt that scripture as well. You know, it's really integral to this whole thing of dreaming kingdom dreams. And the most difficult part is persevering through to victory. And that scripture is Hebrews 12, 2 to 3. It says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." And so, what is that scripture saying? Well, you guys you're here this morning probably know better than I do, but what I believe that scripture is saying is that He is our dream, and we are His dream. And that when He was on the cross, and He was going through that anguish and that pain and suffering on the cross, that He was dreaming about His new creation. He was dreaming about you and me. And He dreamed of seeing us, you guys sitting here tonight. And He dreamed even past that. He dreamed to the wedding supper of the Lamb, where we would all be together celebrating the goodness of God. And I believe that is His joy. And that is when it says that for the joy set before Him, we are the joy that was set before Him. His biggest dream come true. We are. And when we look at Jesus, and it says, fix His eyes. What does it say? It's lift your eyes and actually let your vision be Him. Let your dream be Him. And so we fix our eyes on Jesus. He is our dream. And we could never hope to ever dream or imagine what God has done for us. And how it's going to be at the wedding feast. How it's going to be to spend eternity with Jesus. And so when we consider the power of His love, how much He loves us, we are empowered to persevere through the dreams and visions that He's put in us. Not to give up on those dreams and visions, but like Jesus, to scorn the shame, to scorn the pain, to say, I'm prepared to pay the price, God, for this dream, this vision that You put in my heart. Even as Jesus was prepared to pay the price for His dream and His vision. And that was His joy. That is what helped to bring Him through that pain and that suffering. And so, we can look up and say, Jesus, that is what is our strength. You, the joy of the Lord. You, knowing that we are Your joy, Lord, is our strength. And Lord, You are our joy. And we persevere because of this amazing love that God has bestowed upon us, His favor, and all that He's given us. When we dream big and trust God to bring dreams to fruition, there are a number of things that happen. The first thing is that we bring honor to God because we put those dreams and desires, because He put those dreams and desires in our heart. Secondly, we give God the opportunity to not only show His greatness, but also His commitment to us by allowing Him to make our dream a reality. Thirdly, we take control of our own lives and we refuse to allow ourselves to be bound or controlled or intimidated by fear or oppression. And lastly, we bring glory to God through a legendary, extraordinary existence. And so whenever we're in a difficult place, friends, I want to encourage you, just take a step back to grab a pen and some paper and to begin to look on the inside of you again. And then you'll be able to see and unveil and discover more and more of the exciting dreams that God has placed inside of you, which can't wait to begin bubbling out of us. It's our dream DNA. Our God is the biggest dreamer. And I want to encourage you to begin to dream. I want to challenge you to go home and begin to dream. Get your pen and your paper out and start writing and start meditating over. You'll be astounded at what comes through your pen. And I want you to take those dreams and I want you to hold them up to God. And you're going to watch this year change. You're going to watch your life change as you trust God to begin to make those dreams, to begin to bring them to reality, to work with you, to bring the impossible and let the impossible invade your life. Just a couple of scriptures here. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Some interpretations say, but when your dream comes true, it's a tree of life. And then Psalm 126, verses 1 and 2. What? Psalm 126, sorry. Psalm 126, verses 1 and 2. I can read them from here. Shall I just do that? It says, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for us. So the Lord has done great things for them. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations that the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, friends. The Lord has done great things. And, Lisa, could you just maybe come up with the worship team? I just really felt that God wanted to just do some stuff tonight in our hearts. It's a good time. It's the new year. It's like we're only 1 week into it, and we want to just allow God to do what has already been prophesied. And this evening, a few people have said that this year is going to be an awesome year, a supernatural year, miraculous year, a year of dreaming big in God, big dreams. And so I thank the Holy Spirit for His amazing presence here tonight. And I believe that God has already touched people big time. And I feel God wants to carry on just touching people tonight. Doing stuff. Some of the stuff I felt was that I believe that there are a number of people here tonight that believe that their dream, their big dream is dead. And but it isn't. And I felt God say that He wants to resurrect that dream. And I felt God say that when He resurrects something, the resurrection power of that dream is far in excess of what it ever was before. The resurrection power. But God's saying that dream is not dead. I want to resurrect that dream tonight. I felt for some people tonight, there are dreams that are dead. Marriages that cannot be restored. Loved ones that have passed away. Some people that have lost children, that their dreams through those children are dead. Business has failed. It can't be resurrected. But I felt God say that tonight He wants to still the voice of the dead dreams, so that the voice of the dream giver can once again be heard, speaking new dreams, new vision, a freshness. But God wants to silence the voice of the dead dreams. For some people, I believe God just simply wants to impart fresh vision and I believe God wants to activate something in our hearts tonight, for this year, for the future. And for some people, and just Jimmy prayed a bit earlier as well, that some people are finished. They battle weary, they exhausted. And I also felt that the waters of life were going to just, God was going to, I just saw people under a waterfall. And that waterfall is the waterfall of the water of life. And I saw the water being poured out over people tonight, just restoring, refreshing people. People that are finished, battle weary, exhausted. So, James, yeah. What we want to do is just get the elders and some of the ministry guys just to